This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2017, held at Faith Builders on August 1 through 4.
Good morning. It's coming. Good morning. There we go. Now we got some life. That's good. Welcome back again. And how many of you are feeling that glazed over teacher conference feeling right now? Okay. Usually when we go to the ACSI conference and after about 2 days of it, I'm done. I'm tired of being a student. I'm ready to just go back and do something different or let my mind rest a little bit. Hopefully you're not feeling that too much. Hopefully we can stay together here for a little bit yet for the next 45 minutes. I have five copies left of the training study if you're interested in it. I asked the office if I've went over my budget for photocopying. You might wonder the same, given what I gave you just now again. I was going to give you the one handout at the end of the class yesterday, but I thought I'll just wait and give it to you this morning, and then the final one. There. I think we've been all reflecting a little bit as speakers on our previous teachers. My mind goes back to grade four. I went to public school all of my life. I wasn't introduced to Christian schooling until I started teaching in Christian school. So that's kind of in my experience. And so I had a number of different teachers as well. Mr. Reese, my grade four teacher, was the first male teacher I had. He was a teacher who demonstrated to me actually the significance of a male figure, if possible, in a school. And it was probably when I was in grade four and I had some quirks. I still have some quirks, but I had some quirks as a grade four student, and one of them was making obnoxious noises. You have any students like that? And you're saying the guy that doesn't like clicking? And I had these ways of making obnoxious noises, and finally one day I didn't get in trouble a whole lot, but he pulled me out to the hall, and he said, "Howard, you go out to the hall." And then I was standing there for a while. It's like, oh boy, what did I do? And then finally he said, "You've got to stop doing that." And obviously it was annoying him. And I remember my feelings of being out in the hall there really, really scared. And on my role at school, I also have the opportunity, I'm not sure what you would say it, of talking to a lot of younger students sometimes, or boys, specifically mostly, that need to a little bit of positive encouragement in different ways. And I've tried to remember what it feels like when you're that age and you have to talk to somebody of authority. It's scary. It is. And those of you in that role, I think you can identify with that. And so we have quite an impact on our students and in our lives and in who we are and how we respond. I don't know if as you went through this document, I don't know how much time you've spent with it since, but I don't know if you've felt that there was something missing at all in this document. And I kind of felt there was. So I gave you a handout today because I felt I want to bring some balance to this document. I think we can kind of identify a lot of spiritual truths in this document here, but I think there's some specific things that we're missing in that, and I'd like to just touch on them briefly this morning, as I thought of some things, and you maybe as you went through the document, looked at different traits that are important to teachers, you might have said, well, what about this? What about this? And I don't present that document to you as a be-all and end-all. I don't do that. My goal, my prayer is that it could be a resource, a spot that you can bounce off of. But I think there's some missing traits, and one of them is a sense of mission. And as in a Christian school, do you have a sense of your mission? I'm not going to go through these all in detail. Thinking biblically, how do you approach schooling? Do you think biblically? Maybe I'll stop with the next one for a little bit. Striving for excellence, and I've touched on this a little bit. Sharing what I have this week, I think you've identified that I'm not a perfectionist. And so I'm not sure that I'm qualified to even speak this way. But I have run across a lot of situations in our school, or a significant number of situations in our school, where I wonder, maybe you've had one of these, I wonder if we should have a workshop sometime on how to distinguish and help students know the difference between perfectionism and excellence. I don't know if you ever run into that or not, but if you have a perfectionist student, they can almost drive themselves to emotional breakdown sometimes in their classes and in their subject areas. And yes, this does fall in family lines sometimes. And you know there's family tendencies, and we see that sometimes. And you know there's pressure that comes from the family, maybe to do well. But maybe, I want to be balanced here as much as I can. I feel at times it goes too far. And we've tried, in the last few years, we've become a lot more sensitive to this. We've tried to try and catch this as soon as we can. When we start seeing a student just going down the wrong road, we want to... it's almost seems counterintuitive, but we want them to be okay with a mistake. And that's a battle. And if it's not caught, it can create a lot of problems down the road for that student emotionally. But even beyond that, I'm also concerned if a teacher is a perfectionist. Now, I'm stepping on really, really shaky ground here in how I say this, and I want to be very careful. But I've also seen the damage that can happen in a student's life if a teacher doesn't have control of those perfectionistic traits. And if they put that onto a student, expecting more than a student can bear or can even produce, that can be very, very damaging as well. So I think we do well to just take a good look at ourselves and some of these things. I think we could have a lot of discussion on that, and one of the beauties of these conferences is just the networking, the dialogue, the pushback on ideas and thoughts. The Q&A yesterday, just really enjoyed that time. Hearing one thing you hear is you hear that your school is not unique, right? You hear a lot of similarities that happen. The second thing is just you hear a lot of ideas and ways of handling things. Love for people, love for God, love for people. Realness. I've talked about this a little bit, but I think it's very common knowledge that one of the best pieces of advice you can give somebody that's coming into your school as a new teacher is just be yourself. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be real with the students and just be there. You are who you are. And that means you might be limited in some areas. Just recognize that and be real. Be an encourager. Is that who you are as a person? And some of us are better at this than others. I don't know if you find yourself that. Put up your hand if you say, typically I'm an encourager. Put up your hand if I have to work pretty deliberately at it. Yeah, that's who we are. And that has an impact on how we relate and in our classes as such. Melvin's, I think, hit this very well in authority, in recognizing our authority, in our own personal submission to authority. If we're talking negatively about authority figures in our lives to our students, I trust you recognize you're cutting off the proverbial limb you're sitting on. It's just, that's not going to go well. And then finally, a spirit-led person. I believe this is important, and I know we maybe vacillate a little bit on this sometimes, but Gerald talked about being instant in prayer. That's part of teaching as I found it. There's way more times than I can count going into a situation where, Lord, I don't know what to do. Please give us wisdom in how to handle this or to face this or to deal with this situation. I gave you this a blank handout. Maybe if you've faithfully went through this whole document and have filled everything out and have done everything, then you are ready for this step. And that is where, and maybe sometimes somebody, if it's of value, somebody could digitize this. Maybe it would make everything easier for us. But you could transpose this onto a summary sheet. Now, you notice that this sheet looks a little different than yours does, and that's because I've taken out the subheadings at this point. But so this is me, okay? This is where I came through. This is how I was feeling at the time I did this, that kind of thing, okay? And how I looked at some of those things. And there's a couple things that I find out right away, and that is I have room for improvement. I think you see that as well, right? There are areas that God can work in my heart, and I need to look at and focus at. A couple things, though, I just want to say is did you find anything items that contradicted themselves? Yeah, and I think you will find that. And that's because that's the way it is. You can't be strong in everything. Sometimes we need strong traits in one side, but someone else will have strong traits in another side. And there's a healthy tension that goes between those things. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that if you were to finish this little diagnostic test or whatever you want to call it off, you would probably end up with something similar. Possibly more yellow than white than I have. Somewhere in there. And maybe you're saying when you look at that, wow, he must think pretty good about himself. He's got a lot of yellow up there. I don't know how you look at it, but you've all are experienced teachers. A lot of what's in that document is not rocket science, right? A lot of it is common sense. A lot of it is spiritual characteristics. It's just being a Christ-like person. that's who we are. And hopefully, and the other thing I want to say is, you've all lasted 3 years, right? If it was really bad, you probably wouldn't be sitting here. So I think we can expect that. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. We can expect that. But we can also recognize that there's maybe some things, some patterns or things that come through. My favorite teacher was Mrs. Homewood. And she was my grade 12 OAC computer programming teacher. And there was 8 of us students in the class, and so it was a very small class. And I still remember her coming into class. She was a little heavier set, and she would come in, and she'd have her binder that she was carrying, a big 3-inch binder. There'd be papers hanging out of the binder. You get the image? Get the picture? She'd come into class, and she'd plop down on a chair and say, "Okay, let's talk about logic gates." And we'd have class. I just always enjoyed her friendliness. I enjoyed her transparency as a teacher. She was very open. You better know your stuff. You had to know your things. And she wasn't afraid to, "That doesn't work. No good. Go back and try it again." And probably spent more hours of homework in that class than I did in any other class. But I enjoyed the class, and I enjoyed her as a teacher. And she resonated with me. Fast forward to about 7 or 8 years ago, I ran into Mrs. Homewood again. She was now principal of Listowel District Secondary School. And I was there as principal of Countryside Christian School, appealing to one of the decisions that had been made on academic standing for students coming into the school. Some of our students were having trouble getting some of their credits recognized, transferring in. And I sat down and talked with her. And we talked a little bit about past times. I appealed. I didn't get anywhere. Didn't change anything. She was solid in her position. "No, this is policy. Can't do anything. Sorry for your students, but that's just the way it is." So it probably kind of put a red mark on my thought of her, though I know she was just carrying out policy as she had probably been instructed to do. But as I pondered that, there's Mrs. Homewood, binder with papers hanging out of it, who is now principal of a school of 1,500 to 2,000 students. She had done well, and I applaud her in that. You see the 2 red marks. There's hope. There's hope maybe for some of us who also have weaknesses in those areas. It doesn't need to be crippling, okay? Doesn't need to be. As I've went through this study, I've obviously picked out these 2 that didn't even meet the halfway mark. And so for my own personal study, I'm going to go back and look at that. What are some things I can do to work on? Looking at the paper you have, or follow up here if you want, one thing that's very unscientific, it's kind of just whatever, is I take these 4 parts of this one trait, and then I summarized it. And just said, "Okay, it looks right about there." There's my carefulness coming out again, right? Not scientific, just that looks like where the line should be. So if you want to do that, that's up to you. You can do that as well. But you can go through the whole thing, and it gives you a picture of, okay, where should I really go in and narrow in? Now, you might go through this and say, look at all those really short bars. They're not very long. There's a lot of them there, and on mine there is. There's one there. There's another one there. There's Where's another one? We got another one there. Ambition. They're kind of all over the place. Actually, I do want to show that slide because that one looks better, right? So there are ones that are going to have stronger traits that we will have, and everyone's will be different in that. My part-time job, part-time, full-time, my summer job, I am involved in retail. And I enjoy retail as well. We're part of a store that they've been nice enough to let me drop in for the last 14 years. For summertime, I just kind of know I have a job there and I can go work. And if you've been in retail, you know that there's a couple things that are fixed. One, you only have so much floor space to sell stuff. It's limited. It's a limited floor space. So you pick the SKUs or the items that are going to sell as well as you can for that floor space. Because that floor space, every item in your store that's taking up space costs you money. Okay, so to maximize your store profit, you have to maximize your inventory. And hardware, I think I'm pretty close to this. In hardware, you try to turn your inventory, meaning the whole value of all your inventory, you try to turn about 5 to 6 times a year, if possible. And that means you're doing a fairly good job of managing your inventory. If you go below that, that means if your turns are less than 5 or 6, it means you're probably carrying too much inventory, which is costing you money. You go above that and you're turning your inventory much more, then you are probably running out of stock on items quite a bit of the time. And so you maybe don't have enough to service your clients. Other thing with inventory is you're constantly evaluating what is the best item. And so in some stores, you'll pick out your top 10 movers. And those items, you're going to give extra space for the store, for customers to come pick out. You want to make sure you have that stuff there. You don't want to ever run out of that stuff because people will pick it. The opposite, though, is also true. You have to continually be looking at the lowest 10 movers. And if you're a good retail store, you're probably culling those out. You're saying, okay, we're discontinuing that. We're going to try something else because we just have to keep getting new stuff here and new inventory and keep moving that out. Well, teaching isn't a business. You can't evaluate all the inventory of store at one time. Neither can you just become perfect overnight, right? It's a continual process that each of us have to do. And I think if we would say, pick the top 10 things you want to work on this year, we'd all go home and say, forget it, right? It's too much. It's the likelihood of you actually doing that is pretty close to zero. Would you agree with me on that? It's not going to happen because it's overwhelming. I think most of us are going to be very busy in the next 3 weeks. Am I correct? Yeah, a lot of tyranny of the urgent items are coming that we're going to be focusing on quite a bit. But what if you step back and picked one or two things that I'd like to focus on this year? And then you go through that process again and again and say, the next year, one or two things that I want to keep working on. And you just did that for the next 15 or 20 years, as you all will be teaching in the next... No, I'm just kidding. But what if you did that? How would that change? Would we grow? Would the yellow bars move across? I hope they would. I trust they would. As we think about that. Some things to think about as we consider what we've looked at this week and the 3 hours we've been together. As you've reflected on this, have you thought at all about how do these things actually affect my students? Have you thought about your own traits, your own personality? Have you thought about, you know, this area, this weakness of mine right here, or this strength that I bring, it has an impact in this way in my class. Now, that can be a positive impact, or that can be a negative impact. But have you thought about it from the perspective of your students? Have you thought about it, how effective you are as a teacher? Can you think about it, how your quality of life would change if maybe just something little would change? Sometimes that can be fairly dramatic. Just a tiny little change, a little adjustment can make a huge impact in our lives and our quality of life. Are the stresses or problems that I face in teaching those that... Sorry. That doesn't make any sense. Sorry. Let me try it here. Are the stresses, problems that I face in teaching those I create? Am I creating some of these problems? I heard it mentioned, I'm not sure where it was, but somebody just made the comment, it was just in conversation. You can pretty much predict classroom behavior by teaching style. I don't know, you can go ahead and debate that one. But that you can pretty much peg out, if a teacher's a certain way, what kind of behavioral issues they're going to face. To me, that's a little scary, but there is an element of truth to it, I believe, depending on who we are and some of the challenges that we will face. Other thing I want to talk about just briefly here is I think it's also important to pick our battles. We looked at this chart before. And one of them, I think it depends a lot on where you teach. And yeah, I know there might be some pushback on this. And I will also say right now, I don't necessarily agree with the way these things are ranked out. I don't necessarily say what's at the top of grade 10 and 12 is the most important trait, because I don't really totally believe that one is the first and most important one. I think there's others that are just as important. But in our school, I want my grade 1, my kindergarten teacher, my grade 1, 2 teachers, I want them to be neat people. I think that's a trait that's important for them to have. Now you're saying, well, how can you say that when you're not necessarily a very neat person yourself? Well, I just did. I will do what I can to keep my neatness there, but that's why I use PowerPoint. It's neat characters as much as I can. I do write on the board, and I do get questions. What's that say? Anyone with me on that? Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. Does neatness fall down in priority as you get to the older grades? I don't know. I think it's still an important thing. But is it as important? You can hash that one out. I'm not a drawer. I can't sketch things very neatly. It's a standing joke with my students that the only way you know what Mr. Lichty put on the board, if it's a diagram, is if he labels it. And so when I say that's a dog, that's a dog. It probably doesn't look like a dog, but we are going to call that a dog. Okay? That's just the way it is. Am I concerned if my grade 1 student or my grade 1 teacher is not versed on all the current events that are happening and well-rounded in all educational areas and just has a broad spectrum of interest? Am I concerned about that? No. I'm not really. Is it an attribute if they do, are interested? Sure. They can wow the grade 1 students with something. But is that an important characteristic of a high school teacher? I think. Is it number one? No, I don't think it is number one. But it is an important trait. You want to pick up. You're hoping that person can pick up on those little things. This is an example, and I don't know if I'll get a chance to use this. I'll use it here. I'm involved with the music camp in Ontario. We just finished up on Friday, and we rented another facility for our program. And it's great because it's air-conditioned. The other place we use is not air-conditioned, and so it gets really, last year it got really, really hot. So this year we wanted an air-conditioned facility. But there's a negative to this facility, and that is that the water is horrible. And so we have to haul water from our school, to this church in order to be able to drink it. And that's when you're trying to keep 200 people watered. That's a lot of water, okay? It's a lot of water. So we had vehicles going back and forth. They're only 2 miles apart, but we had vehicles going back and forth with coolers of water to keep the people watered. Well, that sounds really bad. but anyway, the caretaker of the church, Wallenstein, where we were at, he said, "Yeah, the water's so bad here that if we make coffee with the water here and we put cream in it, it curdles." Well, to me, it was like, wow, that's cool. Why does it do that? Well, it's because the sulfur content is so high, it curdles the water. I learned something new. That's neat. That's kind of cool. That's something maybe I'll use this year in school sometime. Do you pick up on those things? I know a lot of you do. And it's just kind of neat little tidbits that you go along with. Breadth of interest. And it's a very diverse one. Notice that one's at the bottom, all the way across. So if you scored low in progressiveness, are you really going to lose sleep about it? I don't know that you should. It's probably not as important of something. So take, how do I say it? Take some of this carefully. Like, just prioritize things. And that's exactly where we're going. From where do we go? Prioritize your list. As you think of those top two things, that maybe you want to focus on this year. Prioritize them. Pick them out. Maybe you say, you know what? I really probably should look at some of these things, but I don't have the energy this year. Maybe I can just focus on one or two of these things. Prioritize it. Pray about it very, very carefully. Over and over again, as I was going through the character traits and as I was matching scripture verses up with them, I was just like, the scripture is full of guidance on so many of these things. And just immerse yourself in the scriptures. Proverbs, be a study Proverbs. So much truth there for us as teachers there. Seek advice. Be willing to talk to other people. And sometimes, and this has been alluded to several times this week already, find the people who do well with these things. I told you about my work in the summertime. I get a desk right beside my superhero organized person. And I've already told you, I'm not very organized, but I've felt his traits rubbing off on me. And I think that's great. I think that's positive. So seek out someone who maybe you can see how they do things and model some of what they're doing. You can learn some of those things. Resources, scripture, people, as I've said, there's a lot of different books and things that have been written about specific things that you can seek out as a resource to work with. and used from there. But I think it's important to develop a plan and have it specific. What do you want to see different? As you think about yourself, what are some specific things you want to see different? Write it out. What does success look like? And then establish some accountability. Maybe you do well with these things without accountability. I don't. Make yourself accountable in some ways. This is maybe a really random thought. How many of you get a, maybe this is a little personal, how many of you get a cost of living raise kind of each year? Okay, some of you do, some of you don't. What if you told your school board, this is what I want to focus on, and I want to improve in this, and this is how I want to do it, and I want to be accountable to you. Can you hold that cost of living bonus till I reach those goals and then give it to me in one shot? You lived last year on your salary. Could, if you got a raise this next year, you want to just kidding, sorry. It's a little different than a business because a business, I understand. But if you've struggled with making change, if you were paid for it, would it make a difference? I know that's a fairly base motivator, but would it make a difference to you if there was a financial element? Can you get creative in ways of holding yourself accountable? You know yourself. If you're like me, you've struggled with some of these things before. What can you do to hold yourself to change and to wanting change? What could that look like? I hope I'm done with the negative. Many of you are a resource for others. I talked about Raphael, who's beside me in the desk at work, and his influence on me. Many of you are an influence on others. You can be an influence on each other if you're in the same school. Quick poll. How many of you would say you are a creative person naturally? Okay, can I get you to stand up? Sorry, please. I applaud you. I'm standing because I would say tip and a lot of things I'm a creative person. Okay. Excellent. Now sit down. If you are not a creative person, stand up, and you struggle with creativity. Okay. Am I right in saying that at times you've been envious, possibly, of somebody who's been creative? Or maybe how many of you have spent a long time thinking about a creative way to do something has just been tough? You ever done that? Okay. Okay, you may sit down. I don't want to pull you out anymore. What if instead of that, and I'm sure some of you do this already, you know you have a creative partner in school. What if you instead say, you know what? I know so-and-so probably would have a really great idea. And you just go to them and say, can you help me out? What are some creative ways of doing this? Now, if you're a creative person, put up your hand again. Do you like just creating new things? Do you enjoy that? Now, I know you get busy, but you thrive on that, right? You like that? Would you mind if somebody came and said, hey, how do you do this? Or do you have any creative way? You'd enjoy it. I'm pretty sure you would, and you'd make time. But if we're not creative, am I right? We're saying we're kind of scared to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to impose. And maybe we say, I should be able to figure this out on my own. If I'm being honest, brutally honest with myself. Don't feel that. You have the resources in your school. Use them. Because it's going to come back in a different way. The creative person is probably going to come to you and say, hey, I really like the way you do this, and I struggle with this. Can you help me? And it comes back. I have several in my school and our staff that I know and I go to often, and I bounce my thoughts of how to handle situations off of them, because I just like hearing their perspective. They often bring a different perspective than I have. And I value that. And I think that's important. You are a resource. God has gifted you in many ways. Come alongside someone else. I know we struggle sometimes with, you know, I should be able to get this. I should be able to do this. But God gave you strengths, and he gave someone else strengths. Bless each other in using them. Thank you very much. You've been a very good audience in listening. God bless you as you go to your classrooms. I would invite, we are out of time here. I was hoping I'd finish up a few minutes early, that I could invite some pushback or some discussion or feedback if there was any. But and I still would invite that if you didn't agree with something or look at something a little differently, I'd appreciate that feedback. I hope it was of value, something you can take with you from here. Howard. You go from here.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.